Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, the 24th of November, and the market is pounding along. Wall Street up another 328, futures up 33, and our market is up 70. I wonder if that's a precursor to the Victorian budget, which today is supposed to be the biggest and most significant in the state's history. Well, it should be interesting, helpful, debt-laden, but I don't reckon it's that. I reckon it's Henry. He's just hit Victoria in his car, and a huge boost to the Victorian economy as Henry quaffs his way through the state. He'll be back next week sometime, I hope, if he makes it. Otherwise, the news today, all good. Pfizer should get UK approval for its vaccine by the end of the week. AstraZeneca vaccine 70% effective, apparently. I thought it was only 70% effective, in fact, so they seem to have upped it for fear of missing out on the competition. Regeneron supposed to get emergency use approval from the FDA for its antibody cocktail. And overnight, the themes are all about recovery again. The energy sector in particular up 7%, and our energy sector flying along today. Worley's up another 3.9%. The sector's up 32% in a month. And we also have the financial sector doing well today. All the banks are up 2-2.5% or so. Travel sector's up. Qantas is up 3.4%. Webjet 4.5%. The recovery themes are in place. Perfect for us. Plus, there's a good PMI number in the US. And manufacturers suggesting they have stopped hoarding and they're starting to spend. Qantas notably talking about a vaccine passport will be required on flights in the end. Bit of a bore, but probably the new post-pandemic world will include things like that. Other quick things, Telstra selling or is going to start selling energy. They have a massive database, of course, and all the technology to do that. And I am getting emails from everyone, from Kogan to Quadlock, about Black Friday sale, which of course is this Friday after Thanksgiving in the US, which is on Thursday. Black Friday is the shopping day, and of course all the retailers are offering you stuff all week on the back of that excuse. Haven't we bought enough online already? There's always room for one more Apple product. Anyway, as I say, Thanksgiving should be a quiet week. Budget today and not much else going on. Few AGMs around. Right, to the strategy today. Apart from the Black Friday emails, I also noticed Qantas emails flying in as well into the inbox. And I put a chart of Qantas in, one of these recovery triangle charts that I wrote about in that article about making recovery sectors obvious, which is up on LiveWire, and was one of the strategy sections a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, Qantas fell 72%, up 167%, and has 37% to return to its old high, although it has had a $1.9 billion share issue since then, so it might be hard, but they're the general theme today, and if you look at the broker research on Qantas, although some of it's out of date and is pre the vaccine news, but you look at the average target price is currently 19% below the current share price. So the share prices are getting away from the research, and Macquarie downgraded Sydney airports this morning, and the average target price is 11.8% below the current share price. But a lot of that research actually comes from August. It's about time these brokers did some work. Update your research. Anyway, the broker research is clearly beginning to turn from enthusiasm to, is the price too high? And there are a number of downgrades in a number of stocks today, not just the recovery stocks. And this leads us into the new dilemma, which is, yes, we've got the point. A vaccine's on the way, but at what price do you stop buying overbought stocks, especially stocks like Qantas or Unibail Rodamco, which are up over 100% from the bottom? And the tone of the market is still good. The vaccine news is overwhelming the virus concerns, certainly here in Australia. And we are imagining a post-pandemic stock market and a global recovery that comes with the backdrop of both government and central bank policy settings in perfect harmony, with dials turned to max stimulus. But at what point do we endlessly, until exhausted, I suppose, stop buying these overpriced stocks or stocks that have had huge bounces and take a profit? Well, I have the answer for that. But first, have a look at the strategy piece. I've put a list in from our daily scans of the market of stocks that are overbought. And there are 50 there. And that's from the ASX 300, 50 stocks overbought. And I have highlighted, you'll see in orange, stocks in the recovery sectors, which includes travel, REITs, real estate investment trusts, energy, banks, insurance, housing market, jobs market, casino, gambling. Not all gambling, just casino gambling, where high rollers haven't been able to visit. And these recovery stocks, you'll see them in the list, highlighted in orange, account for 60% of the overbought stock. So in this case, 30 out of the 50 stocks are recovery stocks. It's also a good list of recovery stocks, actually. But I've included in there the banks, which I wouldn't necessarily say are sexy recovery stocks, but they have led our market. Have they led our market or what in the last couple of weeks? So when do you sell is the question for the strategy piece today. And here is my answer as always. Never bother to predict the top or the bottom. Emphasis on the word predict. Don't bother to predict it. Just hold on and wait for the trend to change. And all you need to do is have some mild technical chart trend awareness and be vigilant at the same time on a daily basis for a trader, or maybe a weekly or monthly basis for an investor. And one day your morning due diligence, or you can just read ours, will make you doubt the trend on whatever time frame you're on, short or long term, and you'll be prompted to sell. So what I'm trying to say is don't bother predicting the top. What you don't do is what I can see a lot of people in their commentary at the moment trying to do, which is trying to be some sort of fundamental smart ass and sell because a stock has gone up and because it's fundamentally overvalued on some fundamental criteria, PE compared to history or relative to intrinsic value. But I can tell you for a fact, you are not going to time the market or the bottom of the market on fundamental judgments. They're too slow, and most of it is based on data, which, if you imagine the numbers people are working off are from the results 6 months ago, is based on data that's 6 months old. And the forecasts, you may say, oh, but they were using forecasts. Well, the forecasts are based on some sort of growth from the real data, which could be 6 months old. But the stock market's looking 6 months ahead, and you can't say that things haven't changed, for instance, for Qantas since pre-vaccine news and post-vaccine news, and yet half of the research isn't up to date for that. So the fundamental science isn't going to help you with timing. Timing is very unfundamental. It's done on sentiment, it's not done on numbers, and it's done on share price trend, it's done on volume. Volume tends to confirm the trend. This is the fifth piece of data in a candle that isn't in the candle on a chart, is volume. Volume confirms the trend. If a stock's moving up on high volume, it means it's likely to continue to do so. Stock moving up on low volume, it's fickle, more risky. A stock moving up on high volume and then the volume drops off and the price keeps going up, good signal to, a good divergence signal to think about selling. And all that's used to identify the trend. It's a window into herd activity, and that should be what prompts you to act, because you can't time stocks using fundamentals. And these days, there's so much more sentiment in a share price, herd activity in a share price, than there was when some of our basic investing principles were formed. If you were to work just off the intelligent investor, it was written in 1954. The stock market was run by human beings walking around, talking to each other. Today's stock markets operate globally, electronically, and they're influenced by globally accessible media opinion, information, misinformation. Things move fast and they move inaccurately relative to the fundamentals that are a very valuable, sober undercurrent in the long term. But they're suited to a Warren Buffett-esque time frame, and you have to be super rich, which means immune to losses, to afford a Warren Buffett-esque time frame. In the shorter term, the undercurrent of fundamental truth can be ignored for long periods of time, during which time it is the herd interest or disinterest that can dominate. So fundamentals help you choose which stocks. They are very good at identifying quality. Another word for quality. Quality is such a sort of hard thing for an early investor to be told, oh, buy quality stocks. Well, what is it? Well, quality is reliability. How reliable are the earnings? How reliable are the dividends? What is the track record? Is it reliable? And that is what people are talking about when they talk about quality. Also, balance sheet. Have they got cash? Are they struggling to pay debt? That sort of thing. So, but basically, quality means reliability. Fundamentals are fabulous for helping you identify that. They also alert you to the extremes, the opportunities that are developing. They wake you up to stocks that are overvalued and undervalued, but they will not tell you what the herd is thinking and will not tell you when the herd changes its mind. So timing is everything, and you mustn't believe those utter plonkers that religiously tell you that you can't time the market. They only say that, especially in the finance industry, if they're an advisor or a financial planner, they tell you that because it makes life very easy for them if they don't have to time the market. But when it comes to timing the top of this recovery play or this recovery theme in our market right now, you need to be watching trends, watching the herd, rather than burying yourself in fundamental numbers. At the moment, the herd is running with the recovery theme, and we're just going to keep running with them. We're not going to be put off by the fundamental finger waggers, because, as you know, and we've said many times, chickens don't make money. All we're going to do, and I suggest you do as well, is stay vigilant for the day that share prices turn, sober up, lose momentum, and make some decisions when they do. Don't predict what they're going to do. Wait for them to do it. So react, don't act. Basically, there is no right way to do this. All we have learned is to keep waking up in the morning, keeping our vigilance, deciding as a team what to do. If you don't have a team, you can read the Markets Today newsletter, and that's what you need to be doing as well. And when it comes to making a decision, you've just got to trust your guts, I'm afraid. There is no science. People think there's a science and there's some golden bullet and there's some one way to do this, but it isn't. All you've got to do is trust your guts, and when you get it wrong, learn from it. And I hate to say it, but obviously, if it isn't that easy, don't take huge risks in individual stocks. Diversification. Ugh. Hate, but you get the idea. So, decision for today is in the face of more positive vaccine news and the recovery themes continuing to drive the US market, particularly the energy sector, up 7%, is that we are currently nicely positioned in our growth and income portfolios. We've got plenty of recovery weightings. We don't need to do anything for today. Tomorrow is another day. Otherwise, quick stuff. Fixed volatility index is falling, which is good. Ampol, which is the old Caltex, got a few broker write-ups this morning after a property deal yesterday, $300 million share buyback. UBS have a target price 13% and have upgraded today. Sorry, target price up 13% from the current share price. Macquarie has an outperform recommendation today. Target price up 18% from the current share price. They say operational improvement, more stable oil prices, and the release of franking credits may again make Ampol a takeover target. Ampol also had a bit of an optimistic trading statement yesterday. So we don't hold it, but maybe we should slot that in as one of our recovery stocks. Another one we've sort of missed out on is Lumina, AWC. We hold it in income, but not in growth. But that is picking off the bottom as well. It is the classic play on global economic growth. Might be worth a look. I've bunged some charts in the sector charts in the newsletter today just to show you that the banks are flying, the market's flying. We know all this, banks in particular. REITs just topping out a little bit, energy sector flying, gold sector plunging. I think gold price was down $36 or something overnight. Healthcare doing well, all tech, despite the sort of slowing in the US. It's only slowing, holding its levels, not too scary. I also have included today an article about anchoring. Have a read of that. It's an educational article. If you've ever heard anyone say, I can't buy that because the share price is up XYZ percent, or you can't sell this because it's down this much, it's a soft-brained thing the article teaches you about how to ignore where the share price has been. And finally, some technical observations. You can see those in there. Nothing really major that's worrying us. Right, that's about it. Our growth portfolio outperforming again thanks to its weightings to recovery sectors. Webjet up 4.5%, Worley's 4.2%, Woodside 2.5%, Zero 2.5%, that's not recovery. Ooh Media 5.3% up. Anyway, all looking good today. A happy day. You have a wonderful time today, and I will speak to you tomorrow.